with the audio, we get our minutes right. Thanks.
Okay, let's just run around the room with our names real quickly. Start with you, Kevin.
Kevin Tyler, Clark County Public Works.
Danielle Cowley, Parks and Lands.
Kent Cash, Port of Vancouver.
Nathan Bruce, PBJR.
Eric Fuller.
Jim Pearson, Railroad Advisory Board.
Jim Malinowski, Railroad Advisory Board.
John Hanson, Railroad Advisory Board.
Lloyd Lycan, Advisory Board.
John Schaefer, Railroad Advisory Board.
I'm Daniel Weaver, the Chair of the Railroad Advisory Board. Okay, let's jump back here.
Randy Williams, Chalachie Prairie Railroad.
Doug Auberg, Chalachie Prairie Railroad.
Dave Rowe, Willamette Shore Trolley.
Steve Jagielski, property owner.
John Cotton.
John Jagielski, property owner.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, everybody.
And online we have Chad Eichen, City of Vancouver, Jackie Lane and Nancy Halverson, and then Rocky Houston with Clark County Public Works.
Again, welcome. Okay, everyone read the minutes? Has anyone read the minutes? Do I hear a motion to accept the minutes? I think they got the one thing that I misspoke in my last paragraph there. Hopefully they got it corrected, wherever it was. Yeah, I had said Snoqualmie Pass, and I misspoke. It was Stampede Pass on the railroad issue. Okay. Been moved, we accept, by John. Seconded by Kent. Anybody opposed? Minutes are accepted without exception. Okay, I don't have any comments. I'm going to talk a little bit under new business. Nathan, you want to talk about PBJR activities?
Sure. So January, off to our best January start since Eric took over. So business is booming, looks good. Have had quite a bit of interest in the last month, some new business, a lot of folks calling. So hopefully that's an indication of things to come. As a matter of fact, I talked to a guy today about moving upwards of 600 cars of sand a year. So that's a good commodity nobody can yell at us about, right? So Eric wanted me to hit some high points as well. So record January, obviously. We're finishing up with the first of our track rehab. I think today was the last day. So we've got it all surfaced and got new ties. Exponentially better than it was this time last month. So we put that first chunk to good use, and we've gotten some good results out of it.
What area does that cover?
That's from Fruit Valley all the way up to Battleground, so the first 14 miles of the line.
Wow.
So pretty much in its entirety, we've been able to get some servicing done. We came out of pocket about 6 months ago and did 3 miles on Eric's tab, and then with what we got out of the county grant money, I think we pretty much got that first 14 miles in pretty dang good looking shape. So upwards of 2,000 ties were changed out, and I don't know, we're probably at 2,500, 3,000 tons of rock, and then, 14 miles of surfacing. So we were able to stretch that, hopefully going forward, and we'll say this every month that I speak, if we can get the relay ties in the program, we'll certainly get more bang for our buck. And I know Kevin's a proponent of that, and hopefully we can get everybody else on board. There's a little bit of that bureaucracy with the whole process. I think we can probably streamline a little bit and get more money actually poured into the line than into getting folks paid to oversee the work that they're doing. So I'll get off my high horse now. We've got a couple of more grants in the works, 2.7 million and then 500K. I think that's all going to be pointed towards bridges and the north end of the line, so that should make Randy happy. And potentially, hopefully in the near future, we're headed that way. You know, we'd like to get up there and test the track out. We haven't been a few years since you've seen a PVJR motor up that way. Randy might have to move out of our way, but if we can get some money in that and get it train safe, all road leads to Chillachee. You know, we had the meeting February 3rd with the folks looking to get that wrapped up. So hopefully more to come next month with the mining overlay and some of the other stuff that obviously we're looking towards in the future. So
do they have any target date for that up there?
No. I mean, it's all getting mired right now in the county process. So once that gets all worked out, then we can structure probably a more realistic timeline on what it's going to look like before anything happens up there. But we're certainly putting in ourselves in a position to where we'll be in sooner rather than later. You know, if it looks like there's...
Neighbors appeal that overlay?
I don't even know if they're at that point yet, to be honest with you. I know there was quite the meeting on February 3rd, and there was some public comment, but I think right now it's in the councilor's hands to move the next phase.
Yeah,
and then
I thought there had been an appeal, but I can check and get you guys that information.
You know, I live up there, and I think the vast majority of folks around us would support it. And we, you know, we grew up with that kind of operation going on, and there might be a few newcomers that would vote against it, but I think the vast number of people up there would be supportive.
I would agree. I've spent quite a bit of time up there in the last couple of months, and you know, we tread lightly, and the folks we talk to seem to be pro for it. Obviously, there's going to be a contingent that's not, but as with everything we do, we're going to be good neighbors, and you know, hopefully we're able to make everybody happy, which is never the case. But
I would like to be alerted to any public meetings on that issue and
okay,
make sure I and some of my neighbors get to it.
Yeah, we'll be happy to include you, Jim. So I have not myself partook any of that. It's a little preliminary for us to get involved right now. It's Granite construction. I mean, it's all transparent now and out on the table. They're the ones that are pushing the first salvo there to get it over the finish line. So we just want to make sure that we're able to get in before it all happens and make sure the line's up to par and we're able to actually get up there and bring something down the rail. Obviously, it's only one road out of Chillachee, and it's ours. You know, nobody wants the trucks on 503, and it'll definitely be a much larger conversation than what we're having here, but we're looking forward to having it.
Do you have a target site to put materials that you bring down?
Well, we've acquired a couple of new properties over the course of the last year. 78th was kind of our grand plan originally. It's got a hopper feeder and a offload facility already on property. So that would be a natural fit. I'll let Eric, when it gets closer, to figuring out where and how that's all going to work. But we've got a few ideas we're kicking around, and we've got the property to do it.
Is that concrete plant that Knife River's trying to permit, is that close to the rail up there?
It is, but nothing to do with us. We keep getting thrown under the bus.
Yeah.
Every council meeting that they've got, I guess there was a flash mob at the last one, and I heard railroad 600 times. We don't own the property. We've had no conversations about moving anything that has anything to do with the concrete batch plant. So,
but it is on the rail?
Where's that one?
No, it's adjacent to rail, yeah. Yeah, it's a piece of property that potentially could be rail served, but they haven't talked to us about it. And
you don't have any gravel on the rail.
We don't have any gravel on the rail, and we keep getting lumped in, and I keep trying to tell people, not me.
Where's that batch plant at?
Well, it's the property is called Buchanan. It's between 78th or 72nd and 87th over in that area.
Nathan?
Yes, sir.
Columbia talked about Barbican the other day. You're doing work in there.
We are.
Are you having industries?
wire and moving in there?
No, we've got nothing concrete. As of now, we're looking at expanding our storage capacity. That was kind of the biggest reason that we picked that property up. Yeah, so, yeah, put a siding in, having a couple of storage tracks. I think we've outgrown the storage capacity that we have, and we find ourselves having to double-handle cars a little bit more than we'd like. So Eric's decided to write a couple of checks and pick up some new land, and hopefully that'll be part of the expansion plan, get a couple more storage tracks in place. Ultimately, if the right customers came along and there was a lease opportunity, rail-served business, we'd love to have it. You know, that's all big-picture stuff, but right now, storage capacity is what we're going to use that for.
Okay, anything else?
That's all I got, guys. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. BYCX?
No, thanks, Dan. This is our off-season right now. We are making good progress on the steam engine, getting it back together. Our holdup was getting the stay bolts fabricated for the boiler. We kept getting pushed off from the company we were hoping to use. And it turned out our steam mechanic purchased the tool we needed. The bolts have been were made. Doug took them to a machinist that does specialized boring, got them threaded, and they're being installed. I believe the steam crew has called for the FRA inspector to come up to inspect that so we can start putting tubes in. So we're on good track, get the steam engine back, which is definitely, it's an attraction. Everybody likes to ride it. They like to hear it. As far as track conditions, it's wet. Last Saturday, I went out, I took my speeder, and I had a friend of mine come with me, and we cleared from Yakult, which is mop was 26.7, down to about 19.3, and we ran into a couple trees that were bigger than we wanted to handle for as tired as we were at the end of the day. They're both torpedoes stuck on the hill, so once you cut them, they're going to start wanting to come down. Well, one's real tall, but it's hanging over. It's kind of out of the scope of what I can get up there and do. It's going to require somebody to hike up and cut it at the base, or to grab onto it down low and control it so it doesn't hurt somebody when they cut it. We did cut several other trees that we were able to handle. One of them was probably about 20 inches in diameter, big fir tree that came down. So anyway, track is clear. Like I said, 19.3 up to Yakult. It's clear, it's usable, but you wouldn't be able to get past the tree at 19.3. Other than that, Doug and I are trying to get hooked up with Eric to talk about our building, trying to get that kickstart again. We like to really get that going in Yakult. I think that would benefit both our groups to have that ready and running. We're doing our scheduling, setting up our schedule for 2023. Right now, we just revised our charter rate fees and our ticket fees. Well, obviously, we haven't bumped our ticket fees in, I think, 4 years. So this is going to be the year. Fuel costs more, grease costs more, everything costs more. And for anybody that wants to come out and run, the taco stand across the street will be open soon. So that restaurant that just has no luck is going to be opened as a Mexican food restaurant. The owner put up a post, I think yesterday, that he's waiting on permits. So we'll hopefully have another restaurant. Again, that's real nice for our customers.
That's up there by your ticket office?
Right behind it, yeah.
Yeah.
Across the street, across Railroad Avenue. It's had numerous.
I thought they were doing very well at one time, but I assume COVID probably.
Well, yeah, that shot it down. It had a loyal following. It was kind of a church-based group. And then, obviously, the lady before them, she killed herself.
Oh.
And then the one before that financially wasn't making it, so. It's a bad luck story. Problem is, up there in the wintertime, nobody's up there buying food.
Yeah.
You know, but the bar was sold around the corner, and it's been doing really well. So maybe, and they're building houses up there, so Yakult may be coming back. As far as the upgrade on the track, people I talk to are positive because it's going to bring more jobs. There may need, at some point in time, once all the permits are done, there may need to be a public information meeting up there. to let all the neighbors go know what's going on, so the rumor pool doesn't blow itself up. Do you have anything, Doug? That's all I got. Anybody have any questions for BYCX?
No, no activity on your new building yet?
No, that's what we were, I just mentioned, we're going to, Doug and I are trying to hook up with Eric. We're trying to do it before the meeting. He wasn't able to come down, so it may be that we have to drive up and see him or do a Zoom meeting.
Are you close?
We'll have to see where we're at. It's been a while since we touched it.
I was going to say, yes. A lot of moss has grown on everybody since then.
Yeah, well, but Doug has been able to keep the grant alive. Unfortunately, the grant is inflation adjusted, so that makes our building get a little smaller. If we're lucky, we might be able to get HO scale trains in there by the time we get done with this. So anyway, that's all I have then, if nobody has anything. Thank you.
Great, thanks. Okay, county activities?
Yeah. So as Nate mentioned, construction on that railroad rehabilitation project is basically complete for all practical purposes. So we'll be moving on to the next couple of projects. Been coordinating with Department of Transportation, and we have final grant amendments to close out the old grants that were just for bridge work, amend the $2.7 million grant just to refine the scope of work and at the same time extend it for another two-year period, which will give us until June of 2025 to make sure all that work gets done. The current deadline in the grant is June of this year, which is not achievable. And as Nate mentioned, it's focused entirely on bridges and rehab work on the upper track. So from basically from Battleground northward, as far as the money will take us. And if the relay ties work out, then we'll be in a lot better shape. And then we also have the final grant agreement for the $500,000 grant. So all of that, my hope and goal is to get all of that in front of council, the three amendments and the new grant, within the next month to a month and a half, and then just focus on grant or project delivery at that point. We have two project managers assigned now, so hopefully things will start moving a little bit faster than they have been, and we'll get some work done.
Oh, I forgot that Eric's trying to get you another $1.75 million that was introduced into both the House and Senate today. So
great, great, good news. And then the signal repairs, we understand that Summit Signal will be here at the end of the month to do the signal repairs. I know we've been talking about that for a long time. It's gonna happen now. And then John, you had asked about what the county status of doing the Northline maintenance and repairs. And so that's all gonna be funded by the grants, and that's gonna be our focus with these projects moving forward. So to do as much of that as possible. And we'll just keep you updated on a monthly basis on the status of that. And hopefully within the next couple of months, I can bring the project managers here and they can talk to you about their plans because they can speak to it better than I can. And then the last thing, which I didn't put on here, is so we had an audit of our bridge program by the FRA recently. And so I've just received the audit report from the FRA. So we'll be focusing on getting our bridge management program up to current standards. And at the same time, getting bridge inspections done. And we'll be doing those priority repairs. So hopefully by the time the grant money is expended, we'll have an updated bridge management program, priority 1, 2, 3 repairs done on the bridges, inspections done, and load ratings, so we know exactly what we're working with on essentially from Curtin Creek northward. I think we already know what the I-5 and the Highway 99 and bridges are capable of doing, but it's everything else that's sort of.
We looked at the study that John Holliday did when he was here.
Yeah, I have a copy of that.
Yeah, because he did a pretty extensive study. I realize it's been several years since he's been here, but it needs to be updated every couple years or whatever.
Right.
But I just wanted to make sure that you looked at that because he did a pretty extensive study of those, and he had the background to do it.
Yeah, yeah. that's been really helpful in getting to understand where we currently stand with the bridges. So that's it on county business. Any questions? Yeah.
Is this the grant money we have now, is that going to be sufficient to cover all the county responsibility and their agreement with Eric for the north end?
I don't know yet. Yeah. That would, I think with the relay ties being part of the picture, it might be, considering how much, you know, if Eric's successful in further grant money in the current, you know, in the current legislative session, then all of that together is...
We've done a survey of the whole North Pine to say this is what it's going to take to get to 10-mile-an-hour traffic.
We had some of that work done in 2020 by a company called XL Tech. So they did that. They walked the line and they surveyed and they did some really high level estimates of what it would take to get the line up to that accepted track status. And then, you know, built in inflation. I don't think they built in the kind of inflation that we've seen in the last 3 years, but they tried to build in some inflation. So that was sort of the cornerstone for some of what Eric used, Eric and Amber used to pitch to the legislature to get that, the money converted from just bridge repairs or bridge replacement to doing bridges and roadbed rehabilitation. So I think the combination of those two things will take us a long way. And that's
the thing we've been told for years is that to spend this amount of money and 2.7 doesn't seem like
well,
to do the job.
And I think that's, we're only talking about ballast and ties. Right. We're not talking about rail. So that's another question that I can't answer, but, you know, maybe Nate can talk more about what the condition of the rail is up there, or if he even knows.
That rail is not going to handle anything faster than about 2 miles an hour at best.
An old track guy told me if the tires are good and the rock is good, you can run on toothpicks.
Yeah, what?
You can run on toothpicks. The rail doesn't really matter. If the roadbed's good and the tires are good and the rock's good, if everything's engaged and you don't beat the heck out of it, it'll hold up just fine. But
really?
And we proved that. I mean, we ran on 65-pound rail to battleground for, you know, however many years. And that same rail is still sitting there. And it's got, you know, new rock and new ties underneath. And you go out there and look at it now, it looks like a new track, but it's still...
We're talking from battleground all
the time. Oh, no, I've high-railed it. I'm familiar, believe me. The roadbed would certainly be the first thing to address. So the ties, the rock, we'd have to be a little more strategic about changing out the steel, because obviously that's the bulk of the expense if we ended up having to change every stick of rail out there. I don't think that will be the case.
Well, what I'm worried about, and maybe I shouldn't worry about, is that, you know, the agreement says the county will work to bring that whole section up to be able to handle 10-mile-an-hour traffic in, you know, some wording like with due diligence or, you know, and I'm not sure what that means, but it sounds like it's going to be a while before you're going to be running to Shalachie Prairie.
I would agree.
In years, you know, probably.
I don't know about years, but
yeah.
You know, it's dependent upon money. It's the bureaucracy that holds it up, not me. I can change out 10,000 ties in a month, John.
Yeah, but I used to rent rock pits for a minute. You got at least 3 years ahead of you, minimum. And that's if you don't lose any of the value.
Yeah.
So that's 3 years that at minimum county's on the hook, and somebody's going to say, you know, what kind of progress you're making. And if it's a $10 million project and you got $2.7 million into it, where's the rest of the money going to come from?
That's a good point, John. The lease also states there's a provision in there that the county doesn't have to expend general fund dollars towards the maintenance of the line. So it can be subject to grants is essentially how it's worded. So the 2.7 million, the 500,000 additional, you know, if there's more that's coming, that's essentially how it would be paid for. And the county and PBJR are supposed to work hand in hand on pursuing further grant opportunities. So I would envision that that's how it would get done.
Being you know, everybody's all kumbaya out right now, but the reality is they're spending all the money up in Olympia, and that's not hand in hand.
Right.
And so, you know, the county needs to step up a little bit more. And
well, county spends $200,000+ a year on railroad-related stuff, so it's not like it's not hand-in-hand, but, you know.
Is that
primarily?
I don't know what they're spending.
You guys both each should spend $1 million in attorney fees.
Thanks, John. We appreciate that.
We're working together.
If Eric can get the tax credit law pushed, I think that would...
That will take care of it.
Yeah. Honestly, it would, you know, if we got donated steel and ties and we're just on the hook for labor and rock, I think that 2.75 would probably, yeah.
Yes.
What is specifically is involved with switching from new ties to relays? The permission, is that the grant says new and so you have to get permission from the WSDOT to switch and so, or
yeah,
what?
I think it's a combination of things. So the first would be, is the granting agency willing to accept that as an item that they're going to pay for? They're not going to pay for it, right, because it's going to be donated. They're going to pay for the labor to install it. So that's the first question, is the granting agency. Then the second question is, you know, the county has to follow state law when it bids projects. So there's the competitive bidding process. So as long as we can define a process and a method that's consistent with state law to bid the project and accept relay ties as an owner provided item that was just happened to be donated by the railroad operator, then that would be the second hurdle, I think, to overcome.
Even if you ended up buying the relay ties, they're a third the cost or half the cost, so
right.
it would get a lot more miles out of a lot more ties.
Yeah, and then I think the last piece of the puzzle, so if you think about a three-legged stool, right, the last leg of the stool is you typically have, at least for the county projects, we typically have an engineer that designs or stamps plans, determines what's the product that we're going to use and what are the specifications that you're going to write to meet that product. And so we need to have somebody that's helping us determine what are the specifications that a relay tie can meet. So we kind of ran up against a wall with that one in a recent project, but I think that we can get there in future projects. So
isn't there a standard for different classes of relay ties? I mean, there must be a spec that defines that.
There's class one relays, class two relays,
yeah.
You know, when they're in the sorting process. You know, our hope is to get BN or UP mainline ties that are changed out every few years that we'd benefit from for 30. We were able to put them in. They're perfectly good, but they have a schedule in order to stay class six, class seven, whatever 60-mile-an-hour track that they have to change out. Their frequency rate is, you know, exponentially higher than ours. So that same tie that they classify as junk or no good any longer, we can get another 20 or 30 years out of it, 10, 15, 20 miles an hour. So.
Yeah, we don't buy new ties.
No, I mean, we build whole tracks out of relay ties, and, you know, they hold up just as well and look just as good, honestly, as the new stuff.
Yeah, based on conversations I've had with WSDOT, with the Department of Transportation and with our internal legal staff and purchasing, I think that it's going to work. I can't say for sure yet.
Curious about what was involved.
Yeah.
I mean, they have their own railroad up there. That don't they get involved in that process, and can't they make a decision quickly?
Yeah.
I mean, they have their own railroad. I mean, they have to know
right.
what they
you
accept on their own railroad.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't use ties.
Yeah, they probably buy brand new ties that they get.
Yeah, I would.
All the money in the world for our money. Is there any back to the steel? Is there any requirement by FRA for certain gauges of steel to go in there?
Not that I'm aware of, Dan. Obviously, there's some things that would keep us from classifying it as class two track or, you know, having a speed that's higher, that would definitely be predicated upon what type of rail that we had. But in the speeds that we run, it's never going to be an issue at 10 miles an hour. I don't know if there's anything written in there that if we change out like the old 65-pound rail, if we have to change it out with something that's 90-pound or above. I'd have to look into that, but I don't remember specifically. I mean, I don't think they care really one way or the other, especially with the exempt track, what size rail we use.
I'm just thinking that when you start hauling rock out of there, I mean, those are going to be heavy, heavy cars.
Well, we get to that point, you know, we're hoping to be 136 from one end to the other if we get, you know, the free rail from for the tax credit.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what we're all hoping for. But I'd say, you know, I'd like to be 90-pound or better at the end of the day. 115 would be perfect. But I think most of the stuff that we get from the big class ones, if this tax credit goes through, we should be able to get 115 to 136, get the heavier stuff, because they're constantly changing it out. But then that's just a whole other set of problems. You got to have the plates that fit it, and the bars, and everything that goes along with it. So the anchors, yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's Pandora's box. It's a good problem to have. You know, if somebody drops off 100 miles, 136-pound rail, we'll figure out how to get it in there. But right now we're going to use what we've got. And the FRA doesn't take exception to the size of the rail.
Okay. All right, anything else, Kevin? Okay, on to bylaws and code changes. Kevin and I worked a bit on the code changes and ran across a few problems, but so I need to gather up the group this next week and try to get this finalized and try to do something. And I'll just make one statement here now, is that one of the issues is whether we can save, and this is one of the ones that's been brought up to me by Kathleen, was whether we can set aside positions for certain groups if it's not in the code or it's not specified. And we have done this. I mean, going back the years, we have set in this group and decided that, hey, it would be nice to have, and I think we added CRDC at one point after I was on the board. So I mean, it wasn't there from the beginning, but it's been added on. City of Vancouver, I think, has always been on there, and Battleground was always on there, but there are some other people that we've added along the way, but we all decided in this group that we wanted to have representation from those. Matter of fact, yours was one, Eric. We wanted to have somebody with industrial real estate experience and some input from that standpoint. So
I don't think we set aside a position just to set aside a position. I think the board said, okay, here's where we're going. What's the expertise that we need? And we said, okay, or what kind of problems do we think we see we're going to say, and what's the expertise we need? And then we went out and said, okay, we got economic development. We need somebody from CRDC. We didn't say, let's set aside a seat for CRDC just to set aside a seat for CRDC. You know, when we got up there, we're in Battleground, where we thought we were going to have conflicts between Battleground and City of Vancouver, because right up there where Lagler is right where the urban growth boundaries were going to hit. We got Bill Ganley, and we got somebody from the City of Vancouver. It isn't like we were trying to set aside in code that we need these people in perpetuity on the board. It was at the needs at the time. We need somebody with those expertise. You know, it's, you know, maybe next time we go around, we need somebody with water quality expertise, and maybe we get somebody from the waste, you know, what's the Hazelville Sewer District up there? Maybe we want to get somebody from that. I mean, I think it should be the board's ability to say, this is somebody we need now, and we can go out and get somebody instead of just grabbing somebody that applies and see how they fit, you know, that we can actually recruit for the site. but that we don't have to put it, you know, in the code that these people have a seat on our board in perpetuity. Otherwise, you end up with what we got now. We got the U.S. Forest Service should have a seat on this board forever. And you call up the U.S. Forest Service and say, hey, you got a seat on our board, and they go, well, so what?
Well, I think the problem has been that COVID threw a monkey wrench into everything, because CREDC lost people and the city of Vancouver lost people, and they didn't have the horsepower capability to devote the time to the railroad. And what I have done is held those positions, because they said when they get people available, they would assign them to this. So how do we solve that in the code, and without saying that we have a position for CREDC and we have a position for Vancouver, City of Vancouver? I think it's got to be something to the extent it leaves it to the board, this board, to determine what our needs are at any particular time. And I think we still need a position for CREDC. It was extremely valuable during the process of going through the FRDU process to have somebody from CREDC. City of Vancouver, although our railroad doesn't technically go through the City of Vancouver, for the most part, it skirts around the edges of it in many places. So it is important to the City of Vancouver to have that input. And talking to what's his name? Eric? No. The guy, City of Vancouver, is on. Who's on now? Chad.
Chad.
Yeah, thanks, Chad. Your name slipped my mind. Chad is that they want to be involved and they want to have input into the process, but, you know, they don't have a person specifically assigned that can do this now, and Chad's filling in the meantime. But, you know, if we want those people, we're going to have to carve them out and not be rigid in the process of saying we have to fill 15 spots, because we know everybody's recuperating from the COVID problems, and we want to be cognizant of that. So that's one of the issues that we brought up, and, you know, how we deal with that in the code and allow us to be able to select those people when we've got other people that really aren't going to be able to contribute to the process.
Are we against the code if we are slow in filling spots?
I don't think we're against the code if we're slow in filling spots. It's that right now the way it reads is that it will, like, it shall be made of representatives from X, Y, and Z. And like you mentioned, Forest Service is one of those. Department of Transportation is one of those. There's a few agencies that we're probably not going to get representation from.
Well, why do we even have that at all? I mean, if we're going to rewrite the code, I'd say just strip it out.
Yeah, and that's what we've been talking about,
is
stripping it out,
about
making it more flexible. But if there is a reason to keep a few of those entities as, you know, more like permanent seats, then, you know, we just make sure that's in the code. And if it's not that important, then we leave it up to the flexibility of the Railroad Advisory Board and the bylaws, to which are more easily amended, to you know, determine what are the categories of individuals that you want on this, you know, what are the characteristics, what are the skill sets that you want to represent the community.
You may not have somebody from CREC on the floor, but they're past president, are you? Yeah. You can go down there and say, give me all the data you got, I'll give it to you and bring it to the meeting.
Dan, I think we've moved away from listing those for good reason. I don't even think we should list CREDC.
Yeah.
When you start listing organizations change and morph, and so do the people. You want to make it so that it fits the needs of the board. It always includes council approval. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Do you remember the clown from CREDC that was here when I first came on the board? Used to snore over in the corner over there. What was that guy's name?
I don't know.
Remember him? Oh, God, what was his name? He was like worthless. Yeah, you almost have to wake him up to ask him a question, and then he's always, his answer all the time was, I'll get back to you. And he never did.
And he was definitely anti-railroad.
Yeah.
I think he was the chair. What was his name?
Oh, this is recorded, isn't it? Oh, whoops. Never mind. But yeah, it was not good.
Any rate, we need to get together and resolve some of those issues and get this thing rolling. And it, you know, never came up until Kevin and I started going through it, and then we went back and forth, and then said, "Well, yeah, maybe that doesn't work, or maybe this doesn't work." And so,
how many years have you been on the board?
20.
and in that time, nobody ever looked at the code.
No,
we didn't even know.
The code existed until you guys started looking at it, and nobody ever said anything. No one said word one about the code.
Yeah. What about you? When you mentioned the code, it's like,
And it's not very long. It's a very small section of code, but yeah, it's right there in Title II.
And so anyway, we got to get those resolved, and it's become more complicated in my mind than it ever was to start with. It should have been just changing a few words and we were done with it, but it's not that easy. So we got to get back into that. The other thing, and I'll go on to new business, unless somebody else has any more comments with regard to that. Well, bylaws are going to follow after we get the code fixed. New business, there is a work session planned for March 1st with County Council and the community planning, and giving them an, I read in the online that it says it's an update, bringing the board up, because most of the board wasn't here at that time when that was done in 2018. So the Senate Bill 5517, whatever it was, and the FRDU committee, all of that information has got to be brought up to the board and updated to that point. And that session will happen. I have a letter that I wrote to the county council right at the end of that, because one of the big arguments was that we started out saying it was a mile from the track. Well, we had no intention of taking in all these parcelized properties on the north side of the track during over through Brush Prairie, but that became an issue, and then other things became an issue, just being a mile from the track. But to get all of the Lagler property, which was the primary property that we were trying to get into the railroad overlay, you had to get a mile out to catch the corners of those properties to get them to be in the overlay. The rest of it, the mile on the north and the sort of the northwest side of the track, were highly parcelized, would never have been brought in under the overlay anyway. I mean, it didn't make any sense to bring them in. So that was a major issue. And at the end of the process, we had carved that down substantially within the FRDU committee and proposed that. But I think the property still ended up having some parcelized properties in it. And I think we were maybe down to 2,000 or 3,000 acres in that overlay at that time. And John and I got together and took out some of the other parcelized, which would not damage the ability. You needed to have an exit under the track on the east side of the track, because all of the part that was already approved was all on the west side of 503. And in order to have to be able to take in any of that property on the east side of 503, you had to have an entrance or exit to the track, or else you had to have another crossing on 503, which was not going to happen. probably in our lifetime. So, at any rate, we carved that down, got the parcelized parcels out of there, and I think we got down to close to 1,200 acres of property that would have been included in the overlay, would have included all of the Lagler properties or Lagler-controlled properties, so that it would make for a decent-sized parcel of land for developers to come in and develop an industrial park in there. So that's what we put together in a plan, and that was forwarded under a letter from me to the county council at the very end, after the whole committee had met. It was basically taking their overlay and carving out some pieces to get out those parcelized properties and cutting it down a little bit, and it was recommended to the council, but that was like the day before they decided to postpone everything until the issues with the operator were resolved. So that's where they've set since September of 2018. So my letter and everything, and I don't know if you guys you want to take a look at that right now. Do you have those available? Kevin, can you put up on the screen?
The letter from you?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I sent them
to
you.
Send it to me today?
Yeah, right after I sent that other stuff. But anyway, that.
So what is the purpose of the workshop?
Purpose of the workshop is to bring the board up to speed on what has been done and where they sit on that FRDU and the implementation of 5517. And I assume that the board will then give them direction as to how to proceed going forward. And I want to make sure that they have all the information in there, because I'm not sure that information that I supplied at that time as a sort of a final recommendation from the Railroad Advisory Board is in their hands at this point, or would be presented by the Community Planning Department.
And do you think that recommendation needs to be amended anywhere?
No.
Are you going to the meeting?
Yeah, I plan to be at the meeting, but they generally, at a workshop like that, they don't ask for comments from anybody, so it would have to be presented in advance to be part of the discussion.
Dan, was there any reason why that analysis of was stopped south of Battleground? I mean, you've got properties in Yakult that could be developed. You've got the old mill site in Tlalachi Prairie.
The primary reason that I included that, one was to be expeditious in terms of before the cities expanded their growth plan, because you're right between the two. If Battleground expanded or Vancouver expanded, you would just carve into that properties altogether, and you'd be starting to build houses on it. That's one reason. The second reason is there was already a overall SEPA plan already done for that whole area, and they hadn't done any studies at all in the area up above Battleground.
Well, it does seem to me that some attention ought to be paid to that. You know, the Witt family owns probably half the parcels in Tlalachi Prairie, Yakult Prairie, and there's a lot of parcels that could be developed and for companies and industries that would use the railroad. And I think it would be good for the county to recognize that. And then the other thing is that you do have the mill site, Tlalachi Prairie, and a number of large properties out there. And they all have potential for development of railroad-dependent operations. So
there is a provision in the implementation that you can add properties along the lines, and they set the minimum requirement as 100 acres. It could be the language is bad, and the size of the property, I think, was bad. I mean, we wanted to reduce that to 20 acres, and then have the language say that it could be a conglomeration of properties. And I think the way it was worded, it said it was a single property with 100 acres could be added above or outside this area we're discussing. You know, it just gave a provision to be able to do that. But again, you have to have a study of the property, and there's a much longer process that would be involved in that property up there. But like I said, we were recommending it, reducing that to a 20-acre parcel, and or in the aggregate of something larger.
Yeah, it should be, you know, the standard should be a parcel or a group of parcels adjacent to the railroad. So like if you have a parcel here and then it goes off, you know, to another 100 acres, as long as you have access to the railroad, you should be permitted. You still have to do the CEPA review, and they can make it a conditional use permit if they want. But you should be able to develop your property. But who knows what will happen with that.
And but that's
as far as the mill site, I think the mill site is zone heavy manufacturing. So you can do whatever you want with that.
Yeah, that's the only parcel outside of the down in the Brushbury area or around the railroad track that has any industrial property, is that big site up at the mill.
Well, I just think the potential in the Yakov area is significant in a lot of these it's underutilized land now. It's, you know, mostly pasture and brush. Not really
being productive. And with access to the railroad, you need something that's rail in and rail out, because you get killed by if you got something that is railed in and then trucked out. You put a lot of truck traffic on those roads up there. The county will have you paving roads forever to mitigate the traffic impact. If you had something that was a manufacturing company that you brought in your raw materials, you manufactured something, and then you shipped it out by rail, you'd have a winner. You could do that anyway.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, you know, once you start looking at hauling rock out of there, I think it opens up the doors for other properties to be developed up in that area, because the train will be moving up and down the track. So it makes more sense, but there clearly needs to be a provision to include to add additional properties along the line, not just in that area. I mean, that area was the only area that was a major chunk of property that was available to do industrial development on right along the tracks. Anyway, the point at this point is I'm recommending that we send that thing just as a reminder. And it's three pages. One is the overlay of the property that was approved by the FRDU committee. And then the other one is the one that John and I came up with that slightly modified that. And then a memo to me explaining that. Well, you wanted to go forward, we felt we should go forward. And one of the things was to add the acreage up in the Chalachi Prairie area.
Are you looking for a motion?
Well, I'm looking for input as to whether everyone wants to go ahead with that and move forward for me sending that, or do you want to have do you want to study it more? I can send it out to you. I was hoping you'd have it available to put up on the board, but if you want to study it more, then I can send it out to you and you can send me a response. I just assume go ahead with it as it was. I mean, it's
move to send it out. I don't want to look at it. I would agree with the motion to send it out,
but I would like to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we meeting again until March 1st?
No.
All
Yes. Some of you weren't even here that... I can't, because I couldn't get logged in.
Is there a deadline to submit for the commissioner's workshop package?
That I don't know. Typically, for work sessions, the presenting entity, presenting department, has to have it to council. I think it's 9 days in advance, so that would be around the 20th.
Recommendation isn't why.
But they're only presenting, essentially they're presenting a summary of what has happened in the past and the current status of it, and is a refresher. So if this happened in 2018, the Railroad Advisory Board already took an action on it. It's part of the record, and I can talk with community planning about making sure that it's included in information that's provided to council.
So do you think they would include it in a presentation?
I don't know if they would include it or at least provide it as part of a packet of materials that's given to council.
I'd rather it came from us direct to the participants in that workshop. I mean, I would go to them also, community planning and the counselors.
That way, you know, it would get there.
Yeah. And they've had it before. It's just a matter of refreshing their memory or part of the, without us being able to testify in the workshop.
You got three of the five are new, never seen it at all.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You know. It's all brand new to them.
Do you need a motion or do you not?
He has a motion here.
Yeah.
That we do that.
I moved to send it out.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody opposed to that? I think, see, you were on the committee, weren't you? And you were there?
Well, then you weren't.
I don't remember the 8 3-hour meetings that I sat in.
Yeah, a meeting from hell.
I think Lloyd was on it too, weren't you? Lloyd?
Yeah.
John and I and
Kent were in and Dick. Dick Claremont was on it.
Dick, okay.
And
question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. I'll send it out to them. I'll send it.
Send a copy to everybody.
Send a copy to everybody.
Like I say, I locked those out because.
I can't change it. I mean, it is what it is. I mean,
well, to me, it looks like all white. If FRDU recommend it,
I think I said in here someplace that it's the hard line. I'll make sure that it's delineated somewhere. Okay. Anything else?
Anything about real day?
Nothing. I haven't heard the word.
Dan, you met with the Grange, didn't you? How'd that go?
Good. They were just more interested in knowing what's happening.
I think the Grange is very supportive.
Yeah. They're real nice people.
I thought they're all going to be from way up north there, but they're not all from there.
First time I'd ever been in a Grange in my life.
Oh, yeah, why don't you bring it up?
I'm from L.A., baby.
I do.
You want the overlay first or the letter?
The overlay, the one that was done by the FRDU committee, which is the less colorful one. They're named pretty clearly.
How's that?
Got to be bigger. Oh, the other one's the one you want first. Okay, can you make it up bigger?
A little bit better?
No.
No.
Fill the screen. Fill the screen.
Can you, yeah, fill the screen with it?
See, it's a map. Question.
Now flip it.
Should right click and that should show you. Oh, or there you go.
There you go. All right.
The
dark red is the recommendation that we finally made. The white is generally the recommendation that came from the committee, FRDU committee, all of the white. And then when you see the dark red is the outline of what John and I came up with to carve out, because there's a lot of parcelized. You have that park in the middle there. And then that white that's up and around there was carved out because that's highly parcelized. And then that other area on the far right of the map is highly parcelized up there along the, what is it, 159th, I think it is. So, but we left that one little kind of half circle area there because that's one of the Lagler sons owns a chunk of property there. And that gives an ideal opportunity for them to have a spur that comes off and gets in that whole piece of property that comes down there on the east side of 503. So you don't have to do another. Otherwise, you'd have to come off right up there at the I don't know, top of that little white one that's sticking up all by itself. You'd have to come off in that area up in there to get into there, which means you got to go through that highly parcelized area.
And the original map was just the county southward.
Say again?
The original outline of the county.
The white, all of the white.
That was southward.
That was the one that came out of the FRDU committee.
Right. And the green is one mile on the other mile on the other side.
Yeah, you can't hardly see that. That is it's a kidney shaped.
You got better contrast. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the kidney shaped green is the 1 mile area. And then, yeah, that does look better. And the white came out of the committee. The lighter red, I know you can't tell it.
The hash pattern.
Yes, the hash pattern is what's approved now. It's 300 acres, roughly. That was approved, and that's all on the west side of 503. And it's the bulk of it is all Lagler property.
Yeah, the lower part of it.
No. I don't know. Does that include? It includes some of your property, yeah. Some of them, but not all of them.
I can't tell by looking at the map pretty zoomed out, but I can see the part of the rail.
As I recall, that this map did not include all of your. I think it includes one of your properties, but not all of your properties.
Right. That's fine. It's close to it, but yeah.
South of 30-something Street, 38th Street,
30th Street. I can't see that far.
You have a pointer, anything that's long?
West of Warren and south of 30th.
Can you see my hand?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That put that hash, kind of run around that hashed area so you know
where it is. That's
That area that he's put his hand around is a hashed area, which is now approved as a railroad overlay. They have not completed all of the development criteria and finalized it, so they kind of left it open without approving it totally.
Technology.
There you go.
Right. Oh, got that highlighter pin out.
That's Now do the rest of it in green.
Yeah. I don't know if I can change the colors.
That, yeah, and then the whole white area is what came out of the committee, and then what we carved it down to is the part that's outlined in dark red.
That red?
Yeah. I think it's red.
It looks black to me.
Well, it's either dark red or black.
Call it burgundy.
Burgundy.
It's burgundy, yes. It's dark, anyway. That was the last go-around that we, and that's what I, and I can read to you the letter. What happened to it? What did you do to it? Here it is.
Where is 503? Is it the right edge of the yellow?
That.
No, it's right now.
Straight, going straight up and down.
Yeah, it's right there. That's 503. Okay. That's 503. So none of the part that's approved now touches 503. So in order to get, you know, add to that and get to the other side of the road, you got to have some kind of a bridge.
Are you coming out on that street that you have to share with the middle school, which is stupid?
What, Loring?
Yeah.
149.
I can't read. Look, that right there, in that little indentation square, I think that's Warren Middle School right there.
Yeah, I think it is too. There is a school in there, and some of the people from the Brushwood area.
Lauren and Linwood.
Can you sit around one more?
Primary and middle school share campus.
So that one road is the only one out.
Anyway, that overlay that's in the dark is approximately 1,200 acres. And that's, you know, our overall intention was to get to there, but when we had to get to there, you had to go to a mile out to catch those properties that were over there on the edge that were part of the Lagler group.
And do you have a list of all the groups that participated in that?
I don't.
I know we had.
I've got it somewhere at home.
Yeah. I know we had Brett Curry, we had. What's the neighborhood association that NACS or NACS or whatever it is? And
NAC.
NAC, did we have somebody from Friends of Clark County?
We had somebody from Washougal. We had somebody from, why we had somebody from Washougal.
Who was that guy from that kind of led that ended up leading it?
We had somebody from CREDC.
Yeah, I think we had Prince Clark County in the audience, and then we had the Sue Evan that were from that were in favor of developing Clark County. I have to get their names. Where was the
Oh yeah.
Pardon?
Citizens United, that's what
they were. Yes, they were there. They were on the committee, but they were in the audience every night. It was a big group. And I never thought we'd get anything done, but it took a long time to let them come down. And basically what we did, we had to come up with the freight rail dependent uses. We ended up going to light manufacturing uses that were already approved by the county, and we went through each one and said, okay, which one would be rail dependent, and this one could be, all right, he's in this one, no, never, and we went through all the uses, and that took forever. I thought we came up with a pretty good list, and then somebody finds some technical things, oh, you could permit a nuclear plant there.
Yeah, we'll got hung up.
But what that means, the same loophole, since we just used the light manufacturing designation, that you could use that same loophole for every light manufacturing property in Clark County. So basically, yeah, any light manufacturing property in Clark County, you could cite it. Yeah. nuclear plant.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I participated in, way back in the beginning, a group, and I think somebody from your firm was in there, Eric. It wasn't, I don't believe it was you. And participated in developing the criteria for a railroad industrial overlay. And we went through all the process of getting that developed.
I forgot about that.
Were you on the board at that time?
No,
I didn't think you were. Anyway, we developed a railroad industrial overlay, which was basically a light industrial overlay for the most part. There was some heavy in there. Anyway, we developed that, and that's what we felt that we should have started with when we developed the overlay for this, but for some reason, community planning did not want to use that overlay. And I still don't understand why they didn't, because it was a railroad design overlay that we could have just plopped in here and not gone through all that process, but we had to go through that ugly process.
But you've been involved with federal property rights for a long time, so I went back home. And the problem I think we've got is we had community development staff who didn't want any development.
Well,
you got it.
Clearly the development community planning was not in favor of this process. So. Anyway, let me read you this letter that I wrote to county councilors on September 26, 2018, implementation of SB 5517. Valid concerns were expressed by county residents attending the open house held by Clark County and the meeting of the Greater Brush Prairie Homeowners Association group regarding the status of the implementation of 5517. It certainly seems appropriate that modifications should be made to the recommended overlay of the property to be included in the freight rail dependent use. The smaller and highly populated parcels near the rail track in Brush Prairie should be eliminated from the overlay. See the attached rudimentary map following showing a revised area. And then a new paragraph. The new proposed area, number one, eliminates the majority of small residential parcels. Two, includes both of the RILB, that's the Rail Industrial
Land Bank.
Land Bank, yes, that was approved by the county and then rejected, then it was lost under appeal. Areas previously adopted by the BOCC. Number three, it provides access to train traffic on both sides of SR 503 without a crossing. Four, includes many large parcels that indicated an interest in being included. And five, reduces the overlay by an estimated 500 acres. In addition, nuclear power plants were never approved by the FRDUAC group. This was not discussed by the group and was included erroneously in the permitted use list in the development regulations. It should be excluded from permitted uses on the property designated FRDU property. Other subcategories of permitted use should be reviewed to ensure that other unintended uses are not included. The expansion of FRDU north of Battleground should be reduced to 20 acres parcels from the current requirement of 100 acres. I would be happy to work with the county staff to further refine the SB 5517 implementation. Thank you for your consideration. Signed by me as the chair. And it went with that map.
Okay.
And the one thing I will point out further in it, and make sure that they focus on the fact that it's the heavily outlined area that we're recommending, not the whole white area.
Dan, are you going to send that, or do you want me to send it on your behalf?
Send it to?
To community planning for inclusion in the work session? Or you're going to send it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to send it to everybody. I would like you to send that. You don't have those in your email. I'll send it to you again.
I just have what Nate sent me, so if that's not the same thing. It's this map.
It's that map plus the white map in a different form.
Hold on a second. Let me look. Yeah, it's just that one map and then the letter. The letter as you read it, but that was the only map included in what Nathan just sent me. So send me what you want, and then I'll make sure that it's part of the record here.
Okay. Okay, yes.
My question is, I think probably a lack of, Michael O'Connell, this former property owner here,
Michael O'Connell, a former property owner near the railroad, but I do have an abiding interest in the rail as it goes through the county. What I'm going to ask, I think, is certainly dated in terms of my understanding, but I've been to the last few, and then I regularly attended these meetings before COVID. The question is this. So a lot of the discussion lately has been about potential gravel and car count and moving of gravel and so forth. And what I would like some clarification of is where we stand actually on the analysis of the Lagler property analysis in this regard. That appears to me to be an asset which any situation like we're looking at would drool over having as part of the county and its potential development. But what I am unclear about is, has the fundamental stuff like the rural industrial land bank issue that came up and reared its head and then sort of stopped stuff in its tracks for a while, have we made progress in resolving that issue yet, or where do we stand? And actually, an overall arching question is the county genuinely interested in development of a piece of property like the Lagler property and what it could potentially do for the county and the community well-being?
Well, first, to answer the Rural Industrial Land Bank, it was approved by the county and ultimately appealed by, the appeal process was determined by the county to be extremely lengthy and not likely to succeed. So they dropped it and allowed it to disappear under appeal. So it's that issue has been dropped. Now that Rural Industrial Land Bank would have taken in all of the Lagler property in essence, and I think it was, I want to say that included about 800 or 900 acres in total between the two sections, one on the west side, one on the east side of 503. In terms of development, does Clark County want a development? Is that what was your question?
That's the fundamental part, yes, indeed. So they talk jobs, family wage stuff, and all this, but are they really serious about it?
I think so. I mean, from the counselor I've talked to, I haven't talked to some of the newest counselors, but I know that a couple of the counselors that were there before definitely are in favor of that kind of development.
And the second thing, and I don't want to do it, is the issue is fought politically, and are we in any better shape now to to have something like that be realized than we were 5 years ago, for example. And, well, that's the question. Are we anywhere near an answer? Does the freight rail overlay help that out?
Well, yeah, it permits, I mean, the freight rail overlay is something that's been legislated by the legislature, saying that you are permitted to do that, and the county has to determine what that overlay is going to be, where it's going to be, and how it's going to be orchestrated. So that, and that's what we're up to doing at this point. And it got sidetracked just because of the disputed issues between the operator and the county. The county now, I believe, is they've resolved that, and I believe in the agreement that was signed actually discusses that property. You've read it more than I have. Does it not, John?
Yeah.
It discusses that property being developed for the benefit of the railroad.
The benefit of what?
Of the railroad. So there, it basically says that, you know, yes, they're interested in setting that overlay so that that property can be developed.
Sort
of. Well, I mean,
I think the lease states that the county is obligated to work in good faith with the operator, with others in things like freight rail dependent use, but we're under no obligation. So we are going to work in good faith. And I think if you're interested in what the council's position on this is, I would encourage you to attend virtually the March 1st work session on freight rail dependent use. You'll get a good idea of what the current status is, and you'll get to hear them talk with county staff about it.
Yeah, you can usually tell from those work sessions that by the questions that are asked by the councilors as to, you know, kind of where they stand on those issues.
One more thing, I would ask you not so much in relation to the relationship with the railroad, which is fundamental, of course, but to the betterment of the community at large surrounding. I mean, that's what I think is the fundamental benefit of having a lot of acreage like that so near to down the city. The car cabin and that sort of thing is very temples thing. And that's all good and well, but the two, to some extent, have to be looked at together because they do overlap, or they can overlap, and one can affect the other, certainly. But my question is, the community's better, not just the railroad's connection.
Well, let me, I guess, state a couple of things. One is the small amount that the council originally approved, that small red spark, by having the development requirements of that property, let's say it's 300 acres, you're probably not going to get much more than 150 to 200 acres of developable property because of the buffering and the infrastructure that has to go into that property to get there. If you have 1200 acres to deal with, you can put a lot more buffering and use a lot more and get a lot more usable property out of a chunk of 1,200 acres than you can out of 300 acres. And with all of the discussions that were held, that anybody that was even ambivalent about the development, they wanted all of that buffering and all of the infrastructure put in place. So, like I said, with 1,200 acres, you can put a lot of stuff in there. You can make it look really pretty. I don't know if you ever saw any of the pictures that Eric sent out about, you know, they did how they could make things look. I mean, it looks pleasing.
I didn't in any way want to give the misimpression that I'm anti-development. I'm not. I think the railroad is a fundamental asset to the county. We can take greater advantage of it. You know, I saw what happened last time when things were a lot of money went into it behind the scenes, and then the last minute the anti-development groups parachuted in and they weren't helpful that way.
Put yourself in the spot of a politician, you develop the Allegra property, and we've done analysis on the taxes that can come in out there, and all of a sudden battleground school districts all of a sudden gets real healthy. And it solves a lot of problems, and that's what, you bring politicians in to do. But you bring 500 screaming people to a meeting, and they're pretty good at counting, too. And there's a lot of votes out there. So they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard spot. And it's real hard for them to say, hey, we're going to help the schools, or we're going to help this, when all these people are saying, not in my backyard. So, they're all going to say, we want family wage jobs, and they're all going to say, we want to help, fund all these things that we want to do, and we don't want to do it on the back of the homeowner. But when it comes down to saying where these things are going to go and how they're going to be built and who's going to have to put the impact, all of a sudden the backbone gets a little more jelly in it.
Self-interest rears its head.
Yeah.
Dan, I want to be respectful of people's times. We're at 5:30 almost, and so if there's more public comment.
Yeah, one other thing I want to make, one other point I want to make, that the other issue with respect to the size of the property is that to get a major developer involved in it, they have to see a significant amount of property to develop, because they're not willing to come in and develop something of a very small nature. Okay.
Done?
Anything else? Say again?
Just south of this, on the west side of 503, is an industrial development. There's two buildings on it now. And people, how many acres is that? Anybody know?
Where is it? You have it?
It's a quarter mile south of the farm.
Oh, just north of Winco there?
Yeah, there's streets in there. Yeah. There's two buildings.
There's very little. I think it's like 5 acres or something.
No.
Well, there's industrial area in there.
It's all developed.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But I'm saying there was only one parcel that was designated as railroad industrial.
I have a general question.
I don't know. I don't know.
And that was a developer's interest.
And that's inside the urban growth boundaries.
Yeah, it's magically
right inside.
Magically inside the growth
area. Yeah.
I think it's around 40 to 50 acres.
Yeah, it can't be much bigger than that, yeah.
And they got a fair number of things going on there. Rectangular streets.
Okay, do I hear a motion for adjournment? Moved and seconded, we adjourn. Anybody opposed?
Nope.
Adjourned.
Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody online.
Why don't you email me the information so I can get in and do that?
I will do that. I'll send it to both email addresses again.
The 38, either my PUD address would be better than the Jim Malinowski 38 iCloud. That other one doesn't work anymore. The IEEE account doesn't work.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Sounds good. We'll do.
Okay.
All right. Hey, how you doing?
Living a dream, man. Living a dream. Pedal bike.
Yeah.
So, what do you want to see? I've got an operator that's asking if we can even do it.
Yeah.
So I went to Eric and I said, do we have any opposition? Then my question to you would be, do you know of any opposition the county has? Sure, we got to get you all kinds of information.
Right.
But I don't want to come in and just hit a brick wall to start with.
Yeah, I don't have any opposition per se.
It's not in the, it would
you,
be
you
in
know
the
what they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I think it's just a matter of.
It's not being red because it's not touching the rail. Well, where's the cross-hacking of the rail, the red one again?
That's been approved
already.
That's the approved.
Over.